حیاتِ انسان ہے، قرآن ہمارا رہبر ہے.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to this program. The day today is the 4th of Shawwal, 1446 here in South Africa. Other places it is the 5th. And it is corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 3rd of April 2025. Let's welcome our Mulana Salman Yunus. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mulana, I hope all is well today. Everything in KwaZulu-Natal, in Durban, all good?
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Everything still seems about the same. I don't think anything different.
Gee, alhamdulillah. Mulana, yesterday we said, and I don't want to delay you today, inshallah, we're going to continue with a few lessons which we can reflect upon. As we know, Ramadan for many, it's just time just flew. And how we can benefit even out of Ramadan, because this is, if we think about it, Ramadan is actually training us. It's that academy, it's that 30 days to teach us that this is what your life is all about. Obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which was halal for you, in those hours it was made haram for you. So now when you can obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that which is halal, and yet the food is halal, but when you're fasting, you cannot eat. So now when you come out of Ramadan and those things which are absolutely haram at all times, then you should be staying away from that. And here's the courage for you in this month of Ramadan. So Mulana, you can advise us further in this.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. So we find ourselves today on the 4th of Shawwal. And you know, if you have to think about it and feel that, if you think of Ramadan, it feels like such a distant memory now. It feels as though it was long ago, and already our hearts are already yearning again. When is the next Ramadan? When can we have Ramadan again? That is the barakat of the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. That when a person is in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, anything that's gonna lessen that obedience, or anything that's going to lessen that connection with Allah Ta'ala, then he's going to feel that discomfort, he's going to feel that absence, and he's going to feel like lost, and he'll want that again. And that is the sweetness of the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. That is the sweetness of the worship of Allah Ta'ala. And now that we have experienced it, and it still basically can be felt within us, then we should try as far as possible to keep it alive. And inshallah, today we will conclude on the lesson of Ramadan, and just a few advices on how to keep that feeling alive will be discussed at the ending. But this is a sign of Iman, that when we are obedient to Allah Ta'ala, we are happy and we feel that enjoyment. And when we feel that connection with Allah Ta'ala getting less, then we get worried. We get stressed out that, what is happening, that I felt so good, and where is it going to? That my life, like that day, needs to be connected with Allah Ta'ala, so that when I'm going to meet Allah Ta'ala one day, it will be like the day of Eid, as we always hear that example. It will be like the day of Eid, so happy we are. So happy we are together and everything, and especially together with our family, that we want to be together in Jannah, like how we're together on the day of Eid, alhamdulillah. So nevertheless, continuing this on a few more points, and we'll try not to delve too much, but I'm sure the listeners, alhamdulillah, get the idea. And if every person himself has to reflect on his Ramadan, this is just, as we say, Ramadan was a training process. And these few advices, these parts which we discussed in the lessons of Ramadan, is just a means of advising the listeners and ourselves on how we should go about life. That everything as a believer, we should draw lessons from to get us closer to Allah Ta'ala. So if every person has to reflect on his own Ramadan, the changes he did, the changes that came about that was for his better, and the evil that he left out, then he'll see so many examples in his own life. Likewise, when we travel in the world, whether it's for leisure or for business or for work, and then we just have to reflect on it. As I always think about it, especially when we're advising the youth, and we're talking to the youngsters, And we tell them, you know, one is you can travel from KZN, Durban to Cape Town, take the garden route and go. Give the example that one, you can go for holiday. And one is you can go in Jamaat. When you're going in holiday, then that mindset is not of a dini mindset, generally. Generally, it's not of a dini mindset on a normal person. He's looking what picture I can take, where I can visit, what I can see, and he wants that enjoyment in the experience of his holiday. So when he's looking at everything, he's looking at everything to get a sense of excitement in him. But that person, on the other hand, who is going in Jamaat, his mindset is already on a dini mindset. He's already, you know, I'm going out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. I'm going to better my deen, to strengthen my iman. So when he is traveling, everything he is passing is reminding him of Allah Ta'ala. Whereas both can be in this same journey, one car behind the other. But the mindset of each individual is making the whole experience completely different. Where that person is seeing a huge tree and he's saying, let me take a picture, wow. And the other hand, that person who is in Jamaat, he is traveling, he is seeing that tree and he's saying, Subhanallah. He is saying, Subhanallah. That one Subhanallah outweighs everything of this world. Why? Because he looked at that creation and he remembered the Creator. The other person is traveling on the holiday. He looked at it, but he never think of the Creator. He just looked at it and said, wow. That is meaningless, that is worthless in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. For him also, for his own benefit, has nothing. So the mindset that it plays, the mindset plays a vital role in a person. That if we always keep this deeny mindset in whatever we do, to draw lessons, to draw aspects in which we can connect with Allah, in which we can remember Allah Ta'ala, then you'll see every aspect of our life will be used to as the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. And we'll see that the objective of our life is how we can recognize Allah will be fulfilled through everything, whether we're busy with our family, whether we're busy with work, whether we've got some jobs to do, whether we're going to the Darul Ulum, whether we're going wherever. But if that mindset is that whatever I'm doing must remind me of Allah, then we'll see how Allah will grant us that hikmah, that understanding of drawing lessons from everything to connect us with Allah Ta'ala. And that is our purpose, how we can recognize Allah Ta'ala, obey Allah Ta'ala. So Ramadan, we've pulled many lessons thus far. And now we're just going to go to a few more, inshaAllah. I'm sure now that the lessons are coming a bit much, but it's just a way of us, as we said, to know how to go about our lives, to recognize Allah Ta'ala and the favors of Allah Ta'ala in everything we do. And this all only can come about, as we mentioned now, when the mindset of a person is conscious of his responsibility towards Allah Ta'ala. So yesterday we ended off, alhamdulillah, and we discussed one crucial aspect of Ramadan, that was anger, that how we controlled our anger in Ramadan and the various avenues normally where we exercise our anger or used to exercise or we abstain from exercising it in Ramadan, then likewise out of Ramadan we should do the same. But you see, the time of iftar comes. And the masjid, alhamdulillah, many, many masajid, we see they have a feeding program where they feed the people that are fasting, whether it is water, whether it is khajur, whether it is halim. I know in Durban it is very common that all the masajids serve halim. That is one common thing also now amongst, alhamdulillah, our brothers from other countries that have come here, that in their home country is something called uji. They have this here when they break fast. It's like how we'll say it's out here, but it's just that they mix it with peanut butter and it's a little bit more thicker. It's much more filling. And it's like an energy packing. So this is, I've discovered this year, alhamdulillah. And we've seen this year happening in Durban, especially the urban town area, that this is prepared for the brothers from the other countries and they really, really, really enjoy it. So whatever it is that is fed to the Muslims at the time of breaking the fast, one is we have to say a big jazakallah and thank you to all the donors that have contributed to the various masajids for the various feeding schemes. And we know the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the most generous in the time of Ramadan. And we see like this year, many of our Muslims are so generous in the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, so African Muslims, one great quality Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with is this quality of generosity. There's just so many businessmen, whether it was the looting time, whether there's no water in the area, whatever difficulty, the people, whether it's Muslims or non-Muslims, but our Muslim businessmen, Alhamdulillah, they come to the forefront, they come to the need of the people, and they're ever ready to assist. And may Allah Ta'ala grant them more and more, and may Allah Ta'ala utilize their wealth for His obedience and to get closer to Him and for the benefit of the Muslims and the Ummah at large, Alhamdulillah. So we see many of these feeding programs took place during Ramadan, whether it was at Iftar, or whether we see on Sunday, generally Saturday, Sundays, the Halim distribution takes place. But this generosity of the Muslims, it could not have been done without the generosity. And this is something which we have to acknowledge, that we have to give credit to, that Allah Ta'ala increased them and Allah Ta'ala opens up the hearts of all of us more and more. And if Allah Ta'ala blesses any one of us with wealth to a level where we are able to assist to such an extent, then may Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of going through it. You know, sometimes we feel that if I had wealth, then this is what I'll do. I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do so much good. But when that wealth comes, then that's a whole different test on its own. Now all those sins which are so expensive, now the day is appealing to you. Now all those holidays which you could have wanted to go, now that is appealing to you, where we know those places we should never go to, because what they are doing to our Muslim brothers and sisters across the world, especially Dubai, which is happening in today's time, see what filth is happening there and what deals is being signed, but yet our Muslims are still flocking towards Dubai. This is one place we should stay far away from it, not even go close to it. So nevertheless, Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala says we cannot thank mankind and we cannot thank Allah Ta'ala. So take this opportunity, Alhamdulillah, to thank all the donors, all the people who generally contributed, whether it was 1 rand, whether it was 5 rand, whether it was 10 rand, whether it was 1 million rand, 1,000 rand, whatever amount. If we did it with ikhlas and sincerity, then in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, the reward we can never imagine. We can never imagine the reward that Allah has in store for us. So this time of iftar, Alhamdulillah, many people get filled. And even if we are in our own homes, and at the time of iftar, the women folk at home, Alhamdulillah, men folk after being for salah or maghrib salah or jamaat, the time of iftar is such a crucial moment in which we should use to reflect. And Alhamdulillah, we got the 6 days of Shawwal, which many will be keeping the 6 fasts of Shawwal. We can ponder over these lessons over the time of iftar and think about it, because we'll have the same atmosphere, the same feeling basically of the hunger, of the wanting to eat, of having fasted the entire day. You see, many a times when we discuss the month of Ramadan, and we'll mention and ulama will read the ayat of Ramadan, that Allah Ta'ala has given us the time of fasting, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that we will inculcate taqwa. And that is the essence of fasting. And this is what generally and majority of the time is only spoken about, the taqwa, because that is the main aspect, it is correct. But another aspect which physically we see and physically we experience is this hunger, is this food which we don't have. This aspect, I think, many of us don't realize the importance and what a great ni'mat Allah has given us by food. That just the ability to eat, one is the ability to swallow that food, to our bodies to be able to digest that food. That is such a great ni'mat from Allah Ta'ala. And one is that food itself, what a great ni'mat. That a person cannot function without food. He can never function without food. You'll say, Percy, I'm too hungry, don't talk to me now. Percy, I'm too hungry, I can't do any work, let me eat first. Why? Allah is showing us via this food our dependency on Allah Ta'ala. That something like food you can't survive with. Imagine, without Allah, how could we survive in the world? That Allah is causing it to rain, that Allah is causing us to have wealth, that Allah is causing us to see, to hear, to walk, to function, to think. Allah is allowing all of this. Now the one thing that Allah has blessed us with, food, Allah is just saying, just hold back for a while and realize how dependent you are on Allah. Have we thought about this at the time of iftar? Have we just thought about this throughout Ramadan? That something which we take for granted, something which we normally say we do it for enjoyment, to pass time, even people say we're eating to pass time, we don't know what to do, let's eat. We're nibbling at something. So this food is such a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, and we should appreciate it. We should never ever waste food, no matter what is the circumstance. Wastage is out of the picture. Wastage is out of the picture. Many times we'll advise the brothers at iftar that if you cannot finish whatever you were having, whether it was that milkshake, whether it was that water, whatever it is, then no problem. With that same plate, take it and go home. No problem. Take it and go, but don't waste. Don't leave it behind, because what's going to happen to you when you left behind? What is a person going to do with a half-eaten samosa? What is a person going to do with a half cup of milkshake? All this year. So that wastage, that consciousness of that 1 month was created in the mindset that every time I'm eating, I must remember not to waste. Don't dish out so much because our eyes are so big, we are hungry. And then you'll see after a couple of bites, I'm feeling full now. What am I going to do? The rest of the food? Leave it and go. No. Especially our weddings, our doubts. You see, so much is laid out, but just as much is wasted also. So much is just thrown away. And there are brothers and sisters across the world, next door, our neighboring towns, our next street away, that are so hungry, they're wishing for food. That's why you'll see when a beggar comes, he won't ask for. Okay, today we've got different levels of beggars, right? But generally, a beggar who is in a dire need, then he will come and he'll say, boss, please, give me some food. You won't ask for a khaki, you won't ask for a shirt, you won't ask for a place to stay. You ask for food. And that shows you that a person can survive by sleeping in the rain. He can survive by having no clothes even. But he can't survive with no food. So this food that Allah has given us, Allah has showed us in Ramadan, what a great role, what a great need, what a great ni'mat this is. Have we valued it? Have we made shukr for it? That is why that dua we read, Bismillah ala barakatil, oh Allah, we are eating in your name, with your blessings, oh Allah. That this food I'm about to eat is only through your virtue, it is only through your ni'mat, it is through your grace and your mercy that you have blessed me with food to eat. Whatever food it can be one slice of bread, can be one sip of water. But food is food at the end of the day. It's going into your belly, it's going into your stomach, and it's going to nourish you that it's what it's meant for. And generally, sometimes, you know, we are eating ice cream, or we're having, what do you say, custard, or some food that the little bit is left at the bottom. Or we'll say in the month of Ramadan, having halim, and the little bit is left at the bottom. Right? And we'll see, we'll just leave that bowl at the ending. Yes, we'll try to scrape with the spoon, if we eat using a spoon, a person using a spoon. But then he'll just leave it after that there. And if you have to look at his bowl, and 7 other members of the family look at their bowl, and you have to gather all those little bit together, you might get another quarter bowl of that all together. So we learn from our tabi'inos, we're spending time with them. You'll see after they ate that ice cream, or whatever they ate, the tea even, then they'll put their finger inside and they'll scrape out the inside and clean it completely, even that little bit. And why? Because that little bit was part of the lot. That all together, that little made the whole cup full. Now, it's not appropriate to leave that little bit. That little bit is also a ni'mat from Allah. It's a food from Allah Ta'ala. So nevertheless, I think the point can be understood that this food Allah has blessed us with is such a great ni'mat. At no point should we waste. At no point should it be such that we're throwing food away. If we got food extra in the home, you see, we never eat it one day. By the second day, if some new food, alhamdulillah, we have, then by the second day, the other food, before it goes off, before it goes bad, while it is still nice and edible, then make it hot again and go give it to someone to eat before anything else happens to it. And everyone's risk is described already predestined by Allah Ta'ala. Whatever is meant for you to eat, you will eat it. So that is one, the ni'mat of food, have we realized that there. The other lesson we learned at iftar, which is such a practical, and what a lesson, that one day I was just sitting and I just thought of this year. It just came to my mind. Allah Ta'ala blessed with this understanding that he's sitting there together eating with everyone. And I'm seeing, you know, generally as youngsters also, when you're smaller, you look at what your friends brought in his tupperware. You brought bajjas, I got samosas, what he got, Thai, he got samosa, he got whatever it is. And you're looking at everyone else's tupperware, but you're not really appreciating what you have in your own tupperware. Your eyes is stretching to everyone else's, right? And generally at the time of iftar, we'll see the same thing. Whether we're at home, whether we're in the masjid, you'll see, you got that size samosa, you got that one day. Even though we'll have time to have all of it, but you'll be looking at everyone else's, you won't look at your own. And now you'll be desiring what they have. You'll be desiring what is in their plate, what is in their bowl. And now the azan goes, Allahu Akbar, the azan goes. And now you have your kajur, you have your watches, you quickly eat whatever is in your plate. Why? Because you hopefully, you want to go and get what is in their tapoyal. Because everyone shares normally at the time of iftar. So, you want to eat yours quickly, so you can quickly go and try theirs, right? But by the time you ate yours, you're already full now. Your stomach is closed. And how often we see iftar time? We told the family to prepare with some feeding for today. And it's prepared. But after you broke with the tajur, samosa, one, two savouries, you don't even feel for the food now. Likewise, on the dastarkhan, you looked at everyone's, but now you don't even desire it at all. You say, I'm full. No, man. They're not even looking appealing to me anymore. Allah Ta'ala is teaching us such a valuable lesson here. And don't stretch your eyes to what others have. Whether it is another car, whether it is another house, whether it is another business, don't stretch your eyes to what others have. Look at what Allah has blessed you with in your life. Look at the house Allah has given you, the wife Allah has given you, the children Allah has given you, the car Allah has given you. Look at that and utilize that and you realize that I don't desire what they have now. Just appreciate what Allah has given you and utilize it, what Allah has given you in your life. And you'll say, I don't desire what others have anymore. Why? Because I've realized that what Allah has given me is enough to fulfill my needs and wants of my life. So why should I desire what others have? What a lesson this moment of iftar taught us. Just by pondering that I want to learn a lesson that's going to bring me closer to Allah. And we'll see what a lesson this is. And this is, I share this lesson a lot because what a powerful lesson. Many, especially amongst the youngsters, you see this happening. Amongst the elderly even, you'll see this happening. That I want this halim. Why you gave me that halim? Give me the meat in the halim. But after that, one, two, sips, finished, done. What's going to happen? Appreciate what Allah has given you. Bottom line, appreciate and understand Allah has given you what you need. And a second aspect happens at iftar also, I noticed. And a person who, we know, started a time of dua. A person, he says, hey, I got no time. I'm sitting on the dastarkhan with everyone also. But my hand is raised in dua. I'm not going to stretch my eyes. I know everyone got uspai. That's the Muslim. I'm not going to look. I need to make dua now. Now is the time of dua. So whatever is in front of me, I'll just carry on with the alhamdulillah. So we just fast to break our fast. So he'll be involved in dua. And I saw this with my own eyes. A person involved in dua, he's making dua. And you'll see, a child, normally you'll see a child who shares all his stuff, or a person giving all the musallis or whatever. And he's not looking, hey, that person is coming with the box. I hope he comes and gives me also. And his whole heart is desiring that. No, but rather he's spent in dua. His hand is raised and he's busy in dua. Allah has seen it so many a times. This person is involved in dua. And the other person who is looking and waiting for it to come to him. It never come to him, the person who's looking and desiring it. But rather that person who's oblivious and making dua, in his plate that savory came, in his plate that food came, in his plate that something nice came. And what a lesson came to mind. That, oh Allah, if we only focus on you, if we only trust on you, you will give us from the unseen. You will give us beyond our mind can fathom. You will give us from avenues we could never think about. And we always hear this hadith. We always hear that Quran ayat that may yattaqi Allah yaj'al lahu makhraja wa yarzuqhu min haythu la yahtasib. That whoever has taqwa in Allah, Allah will provide for him from avenues he can never ponder upon, from avenues he could never understand. And this moment of iftar displayed that there, and that ayat just flashed in the mind that, oh Allah, you are so kind. Let us only trust in you. Let us do what you want us to do, and you will never disappoint us. You will give us. If something small like that samosa, savory Allah, you fulfill that desire, imagine what big desires you are ready to fulfill about. All we have to do is place our trust in you. All we have to do is trust in you and do what you want of us. Oh Allah, that is only you. So the ni'mat of food, then the point of not stretching our eyes, appreciating what Allah has given us and utilizing that day for our needs and wants, and we realize that it's more than enough. And secondly, trusting in Allah. Allah will give us from avenues you'll never imagine. And you'll see at the time of iftar, generally, a person is very, very edgy. He's looking at the clock, and as soon as the time is up, And then why the Muazzin not calling out the Adhan? Where's the Adhan? This punctuality we had in Ramadan of Sari time, knowing exactly what's the last moment of Iftar time, knowing when it's going to happen. We need to be punctual throughout our life for Salah like this year. Let us not be punctual only for the time of Jamaat. But before Adhan, let us try and go into the Masjid. 5 minutes before Adhan, let us go in the Masjid. Read our Tahiyyatul Masjid. Read our Sunnah Salah. Sit with Quran, Zikr. Preparing our minds for that Salah. So punctuality we learn in Ramadan also. Because how punctual and careful we were for the times of Sari and Iftar, we are same way. Likewise. When it came to the aspect of Tarawih, alhamdulillah, you see time has run out, but we will just run to the point. A person can ponder over himself, inshallah. Tarawih, if a person could stand for 20 rakats of Tarawih, no matter how tired he was, then what is Isha Salah? Many times you're going in Gush and you're meeting the people, you say, you know, I just came from work, I'm tired now, I'll see you all next time. But if we were tired and we came for Tarawih, then what is that Isha? What is that Isha? Nothing. Now I'm speaking to a brother, alhamdulillah, he's telling me, you know, Moana, now you're reading the Isha is feeling weird. I said, why? You're feeling too less. He said, it's feeling too less. We're so used to Tarawih. I said, no, alhamdulillah. Can exert ourselves so that we keep that level high. So if we have to fall a little bit, we're still on a high level. So maybe before Ramadan, we're only reading our Sunnah and our Witr. Now add our Nawafil to our Isha Salah also. So that if perchance some days we are lazy, that laziness will only leave out that nafil. But you will have our Sunnah and Witr still checked as correct. So that day was done. We need to see how, inshallah, that how we read our Isha all the time of Jamaat, keep on doing this year. So like we say, alhamdulillah, many lessons can be pulled. And you said towards the end of the today, we will just mention one point on how to keep it alive. You see, in Ramadan was the training. Ramadan was how we kept everything to the peak. We're doing to the best. Now, after the training, you don't have to have the same intensity necessarily. When you're cooking food, when you cook it on high heat, you cook it on different heats. But once the food is cooked, I will keep the stove on low. Why? Just to keep it warm, ready for any time you want to eat, want to dish out. The food is hot, you can dish out, no problem, and eat. But if you're going to keep it on the same high heat, you'll end up burning. You'll say you're going to burn out. And then your person says, overworks, he burns out. Then he says, you have to have a plan in your life. You can't just exert yourself too much. And on the other hand, if you turn the stove off completely, food will go away completely cold and it won't be ready for whenever you have to eat. Likewise, our ibadah, we exerted ourselves. We are cooking ourselves. Now we just have to keep it warm. So that whenever we need that ibadah to come to that assistance of us, whenever we want to go to the masjid, we are warm. We are ready to go. Whenever we want to open the Quran, we are warm. We are ready to go. It's not cold, not shut down. So now we have to keep ourselves warm with ibadah to a level that whenever we need that ibadah to come to the forefront, it is ready. Whenever we need to go to the masjid, that feeling is there. Whenever we want to open the Quran, is there. Zikr is there. Whenever sins come in front of us, we are warm enough in ibadah, in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, to say, no, I cannot do this here. So that is an example which we can think about, that how we cook food in high heat, we are cooked now. We are in the obedience of Allah. Let us keep it warm. Let it not go completely cold now. Let us not let it get cold, because now to reheat again, then we need another Ramadan, we need another big night all this year. And some lessons, alhamdulillah, which we can pull from this Mubarak month of Ramadan. May Allah Ta'ala accept and may Allah Ta'ala grant us opportunity of istiqamat after Ramadan, of steadfastness in whatever good we've done, whatever bad we've abandoned, let us be gone for good reasons from our life. Jazakallah, may Allah Ta'ala grant tawfiq. Subhanallah, bihamdi. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mulana, for that wonderful advice. Make dua for us as well. From us in the team, Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
قرآن حیات انسان ہے قرآن ہمارا رہبر ہے قرآن حیات انسان ہے قرآن ہمارا